This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. One way to get more people into the workforce is finding ways to support and provide child care services.
I think the state in the United States that can figure out how to best deliver early child care will be the state that will leapfrog ahead of many others.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. A bill to ban smoking in a car with a minor present is headed to the governor's desk to become law. Emily Rice has more.
Senate Bill 378 aims to slow rates of lung cancer in West Virginia by prohibiting a person 18 years or older from smoking in a car with someone under the age of 16. The driver must already be pulled over for another infraction to be fined the $25 penalty. Proponents for the bill, including several doctors in the House and Senate, have said the legislation is meant to bring light to the harm of secondhand smoke on children. Opponents argue for parents' rights and voiced concerns about big government. The bill passed the House on third reading without discussion and now heads to Governor Jim Justice's desk for his signature. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Emily Rice in Charleston.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from Marshall Health. A state Senate committee heard new details Wednesday about how the Pleasants Power Station will be converted from coal to hydrogen. Curtis Tate has the story.
The Pleasants Power Station is a 1,300-megawatt power plant along the Ohio River north of Parkersburg. Its coal-fired boilers went cold in June when its then-owner Energy Harbor shut them down. But state lawmakers, including Senator Donna Boley, a Pleasants County Republican, fought to save the plant from closure. Not long after the plant went idle, a California company called Omnis Technology stepped in. Omnis reactivated the plant. Its ultimate goal, though, is to produce graphite on the site and use the hydrogen byproduct to generate electricity. Burning hydrogen emits no carbon dioxide. However, the source of that hydrogen at Pleasants will still be coal. Steve Winberg, the former Assistant Secretary of Fossil Energy in the Trump administration, explained to the Senate Energy, Industry, and Mining Committee how the process would work.
Their goal is to convert Pleasants from coal to 100% hydrogen and then make the hydrogen from the coal. So at a minimum, we'll see the same amount of coal going to Pleasants, but it will be converted to hydrogen, and then the hydrogen will be burned in the boiler.
Winberg explained to the committee that the technology is emerging. It requires heating the coal to 3,000 degrees Celsius. The bar the process has to clear is producing hydrogen that's cheaper than natural gas.
Proof is in the pudding. We'll see if they're able to get it to work at 3,000 degrees, but if they do, it's a pretty intriguing technology.
Omnis is investing $800 million into the facility. If successful, it will need 600 workers to operate in addition to the 160 who run the current plant. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Curtis Tate in Charleston.
A reporter covering the state Senate, Brianna Heaney, got a chance to speak with Senators Mike Wolfel, a Democrat from Cabell County, and Mike Oliverio, a Republican from Monongalia County, to discuss where things stand and how that compares to what they plan to do at the beginning of the session.
Today, I am sitting here with Senator Wolfel, a Democrat from Cabell County, and Senator Oliverio, a Republican from Monongalia County. And we're going to talk about the last 59 days. All right, so let's start off with legislative priorities. At the very beginning, child care was kind of a bipartisan legislative priority. At this point, a lot of those bills, the majority of those bills, have not made it to the deadline. What happened? Let's start with you.
You know, I'm the fellow for West Virginia with the Hunt Institute. The Hunt Institute's an educational nonprofit, and one of the big priorities of the Hunt Institute is early child care programs, you know, the 0 to 3, 0 to 4 age commitments. And I'd like to see us do more in that area. I'm not going to give up on it. I'm going to continue to work on that in the years ahead. But I think the state in the United States that can figure out how to best deliver early child care will be the state that will leapfrog ahead of many others.
That's an interesting point.
Well, I had three bills that were introduced day one for child care tax credits. And the governor echoed that sentiment at the State of the State. And we got not one bill moved an inch. So I'm very disappointed about that. I've repeatedly asked leadership about in the Senate about why we aren't moving, helping working West Virginians. It's not a handout. It's a reimbursement of money they pay out so that they can go to work and expand our workforce. Child poverty is 25% and rising in West Virginia. So people need to work. Kids need to have working parents. And I think because of our tax cuts last year, there's no money to even start a conversation with child care tax credits.
I think it's interesting, not only do we have a Democrat and Republican, but we also have two people from the two perspective committees, Finance Committee and Judiciary Committee. Talk to me about what happened to these bills. Why didn't they make it to the finish line?
You know, I think one of the big challenges we had this year in putting the budget together, a roughly $5 billion budget, was a $700, $750 million uncertainty of this potential clawback from the federal government with respect to education funding. And I think it kind of paralyzed us for a while during the session. And I hope we're through it. We think we're through it. And with getting through that, there might be opportunities for us to do more with some of these priorities.
That's a very finance answer. What happened in judiciary?
Well, I mean, this is anything we have to do that costs money, particularly the child care tax credit bill, which had my bill had a $1 million price tag on it. So it was focused just on working people that are in the middle class and want to be in the middle class. And so it's not a huge ask. I just think it's a matter of priorities. And we both agree on the need, but, you know, it just wasn't considered a priority. And there are some uncertainties, but the last time I checked, we were hearing about a $1 billion surplus. And up until recently, the tax revenue estimates were beating them every quarter for as long as I can remember. So, yes, there are variables, including this potential clawback, but I think the priorities are the priorities, and sadly, that's that.
Okay, let's shift to transparency and independence. From the legislative auditor's bill to the EBA bill, both were shrouded in lacks of transparency. One bill reduces the auditor's investigative independence, and the other some journalistic independence. There also originally was a lot of confusion around what the bills actually do. How do bills like this serve the public?
I think one of the things that changed with respect to the legislative auditor was there was an individual who had been in the position for many years. And as that person announced their retirement, I think the legislative leadership looked for, do we just replace that one person or do we change the structure? And the decision was to evaluate maybe changing that structure as to how that's done. And so I think that's part of what triggered that change stepping back and maybe a reevaluation. Certainly we want our legislative auditors to be able to look throughout state government and try to find inefficiencies, try and find fraud. And so, I mean, that's my commitment to do that.
You do a great job on the West Virginia public television, which is, I think, part of your question. And I was against taking an independent entity and putting it into the government. I really think that is going to end up being something we regret, and I'll tell you why. You know, the governor, whoever the governor is going to be using that as a mouthpiece. I mean, it's part of his government now that he's in charge of, as opposed to an independent entity. I wonder whether people are going to be getting tax deductions for charitable contributions. I question that since it's a government entity. I really think that it takes away from transparency. It detracts from freedom of the press. I think it's a horrible move, and I'm against it. But, you know, it's going to happen.
That was Senators Mike Wolfel and Mike Oliverio speaking with Brianna Heaney for the legislature today. To hear the rest of that discussion, visit our website at wvpublic.com. WestVirginiaMorning.org. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:54. Areas of dense fog this morning. Mostly cloudy skies today with a chance of rain in the south, high temperatures in the 50s. Rain tonight with lows in the 40s. Tomorrow, breezy with periods of rain, highs in the 50s and 60s. Support for WVPB is provided by the law firm of Jenkins Fenstermaker, PLLC, celebrating 100 years of representing businesses and individuals throughout West Virginia, Kentucky, and Ohio. On this week's premiere broadcast of Mountain Stage, we hear the first of two episodes celebrating our 40th anniversary. To celebrate this landmark year, Mountain Stage recorded not one, but two anniversary shows commemorating four decades as the home of live music on public radio, making it the second longest running nationally distributed performance radio show. Our song of the week comes from singer-songwriter Nellie McKay, whose music incorporates many different styles infused with her zany and profound interpretations of life. We listen to her performance of Drinking Song.
My wrecking ball, here lies a part I never knew. I say a prayer I've asked a thousand times, why you're up there when I'm with you. And I just wanna drink and drink and drink and drink and drink.
McKay performing Drinking Song on the Mountain Stage. To hear the full performance and more, tune in Saturdays at 6 and Sundays at noon right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Randy Yowie. Eric Douglas is our news director, and he produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.